Father, we thank you this glorious morning as we gather in this place in your holy name. As it is written, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. And where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we know you are here already. And we welcome your presence. We honor your presence. We reverence you. We esteem your presence above all else in this place this morning. Because it is your presence that makes the difference in our lives. It is in your presence that we find all the help that we need. It is in your presence that we find the fullness of joy that you have promised unto us as the people that know the joyful sound of salvation. Thank you, therefore, Lord, for doing something marvelous for each one of us here today to make all our joy full in your presence. We bless you, we give you praise for your word, and we thank you for the understanding that you give to us by your Spirit as we search the scriptures this morning. Thank you also for helping us not to be forgetful hearers, but to be doers of your word, so that we may profit thereby. For in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Revelation chapter 12, let's read together from verse 7 down to verse 11. Or better still, let's read it to verse 12. From verse 7 to verse 12, let's go. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, before we look closely at verse 11 this morning, let's look at verse 12. Because there is something there that we need to bear in mind at all times. It is quite easy for us to read verse 12 and be sorrowful and say, wow, the devil has come down. There's trouble for us all. Well, truly, there's trouble for us in this world because we are in the world. Jesus said, even for us as Christians or his followers, we are going to have trouble in the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. But then if we look even at that very verse of scripture in John 16, verse 33, Jesus also says to us that we should in him have peace. Isn't that so? If you look at that verse of scripture, it said, These things I have spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you are going to have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. In other words, in the midst of the trouble and tribulation, you should be rejoicing. You should be cheerful. You should not be sorrowful. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Not any man, but Jesus has overcome the world. So we are going to have trouble in this world. In fact, if you come to me as a Christian and you tell me you don't have trouble, I will ask you, are you really a Christian? Because Christians should have plenty of trouble. Because the devil knows that he only has but a short time and is causing trouble for those who hold the testimony of Jesus. In fact, while we are there in Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Yes, you do, as a Christian. So the devil is at war against you. In other words, it's going to cause you trouble. But then, look again at that verse 12. There is a key there. We shouldn't read verse 12 with sorrow. We should read it with joy. We should be cheerful, just as Jesus said. In fact, we should wake up every morning dancing in the Lord and saying, praise God. Praise God, we have the victory. Praise God, we have the victory. But then we have trouble. Yes, we have trouble. But praise God, we have the victory already. Jesus has overcome the world for us. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, there means as a result or because of what was said before. And that's why we're going to look at verse 11 in a short while. But then look at verse 12 again. Therefore, rejoice. Please underline the word rejoice. Rejoice. You heavens and you that dwell in them. Two groups of people are told to rejoice here. The heavenly beings. And then those who dwell in heaven. Well, you and I, as Christians, we dwell in heaven. Put your finger there, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. You see, we have to have a clear understanding of Scripture and not let the devil deceive us. He's a deceiver. If he can get us not to know the truth, then he can mess us up. Because the truth we know is what will make us free. As Christians, we are citizens of heaven. We may be physically here on earth, but actually we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. We are seated together. You see, you are here this morning physically, but spiritually you are in heaven with Jesus Christ. In Him you live, in Him you move, in Him you have your being. And you have to understand these things and not let the devil lie to you and get you sorrowful all day long. You should be rejoicing, Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Again I say rejoice. Why? Because as Christians we have already overcome the devil. We have already overcome the world. We have already overcome every kind of evil. Because in Christ Jesus, we've been made victorious through His blood. Now, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Thank God for who we are in Christ Jesus. Thank God for where we dwell in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Now, verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word translated conversation there literally means citizenship. In fact, some other translations use the word citizenship. Our country, our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, that's where we are actually dwelling. Some may say, but I'm dwelling here on earth. I know my address. I live at so-so-so place, on so-so-so road. Well, that's the physical you. And you are in this world as an ambassador Bible says you have to know this is not your country. This earth is not your home. You are sojourner here on earth, Bible says. You are just living here temporarily to represent Christ. An ambassador is somebody who is living in a foreign land to represent his real country from where he has been sent to be an ambassador in a foreign land. So all of us as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. That's what Bible says there. We are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we are representing Christ while we are in this world. This is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. We are dwellers in heaven. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. So say to your neighbor, you are a heavenly being. Heaven is your home. And you have already had the victory because you dwell in heaven. Therefore, I encourage you, in the midst of trouble, rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. So, again, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, in other words, all the host of heaven. You see, right now in heaven, if you read in Revelation, we have God seated on his throne. We have Jesus also seated on the right hand side of the Father on his own throne. Then we have the cherubims, we have the seraphims, we have the elders in heaven, we have then the innumerable company of saints that have gone to be with Jesus. And everyone in heaven is worshiping God day and night. There is no sorrow in heaven. So heaven is a place of joy. Hallelujah. All the heavenly host, they never cease day or night to worship God. Why? Because the devil has been cast out of heaven and his place is no longer found there. So heaven is a place of joy. So rejoice, ye heavens. In other words, all the host of heaven. And then you and I, who are dwellers in heaven, but are ambassadors for Christ here on earth, we are to join them in rejoicing because we are all one now in Christ Jesus. So say to your neighbor one more time, rejoice. It does not matter what your troubles may be. Just rejoice because you already have the victory. Amen and amen. You know, on the other hand, the devil wants us to be sorrowful. He wants us to just sit down, pity ourselves, and then look for somebody to pity us. And then when we don't find anybody to pity us, then we blame everybody for neglecting us. Have you not been through that before? And then you wonder, how come people don't care? And then you say, all of them are hypocrites. No, you are the one getting things wrong. You should know who you are and live by faith based on the word of God. Just get yourself to rejoice. Someone says, but what's there to rejoice about? Bible says rejoice because you are citizens of heaven and you've already had the victory. But you have to understand it and live by faith accordingly. Put your finger there. Turn with me also quickly to James. Chapter 2, you see, these are the last days. We need to begin to take our place in Christ and walk on the heights that Jesus has already placed us in himself. We are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. We are a people that know the joyful sound, Bible says. There is no sorrow in Christianity. The redeemed of the Lord shall return, Bible says. And they will come unto Zion with singing, everlasting joy, everlasting joy, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Thank God that we are those people the Bible spoke about in Isaiah. Now, in James chapter 2, look at what Bible says, and in James chapter 1, verse 2, rather. Let's read together. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, is there anything there that speaks about sorrow when you're in trouble? How come we sorrow then? Bible says, my brethren. So it's talking to Christians. The people of the world, of course, they will be sorrowful because they don't have the joy of the Lord. They are not citizens of heaven. They are citizens of the earth. They are earthly. They are of the dust. And therefore, when they are in trouble, they will be overcome by the devil because there is no way for them to have victory because they have no relationship with God. So they are the ones that have the woe. But you and I, in Christ, we are the people that have the joy. Hallelujah. So Bible says, rejoice. Count it all joy. So it doesn't matter what your troubles may be. Just rejoice. Someone says, but then, but the reality is that I have trouble. Why should I rejoice? Okay, I will rejoice when the situation has changed. No, you have to rejoice in faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith means act upon the word of God just as God has said. Forget about your circumstances. If God says rejoice, well, I'm just going to rejoice. If God says don't worry about anything, but in everything pray, I'm just going to pray. And then I'm going to trust God to keep his own side of the covenant. And you know what? God never fails to keep his own side. Turn with me also quickly to Acts chapter 19. Let us see an example of two people who did exactly what we have been saying in their trouble. And let us see the result that they obtained. You see, every time you do what God says you should do, you will experience what God has promised that you will experience. And the promise that God has given to you in every situation is that of victory. There is no place where God has said, well, you'll be defeated as a Christian. Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who always, keyword, always causes us to triumph in Christ. And makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So for us as Christians, we are people of victory. We are people that triumph in every situation. We are people that know what it means to walk in the overcoming life. And here in Acts chapter 19, we all know the account. Please, when you get home, you can revise it again. Two of the early apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they served God with all diligence, but then their serving the Lord got them in trouble. How many people know that when you serve God, sometimes you get in trouble just for serving the Lord? Some of us think, okay, if I serve God, then I'm not going to have any kind of trouble and everything is just going to be rosy. Well, say to your neighbor, when you serve the Lord, you are going to have plenty of trouble because the devil knows that you are a threat to his kingdom. Hallelujah. So, if he observes that you are a threat, he will try as much as possible to cause you plenty, plenty of trouble. All right. Praise God. We are in Acts chapter 19 now. Is that right? Oh, I beg your pardon. Chapter 16. So let's go to Acts chapter 16, not chapter 19. So I'm sorry about that. Chapter 16 and verse 25. That's the right verse. Thank you very much. Let's read it together. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners at them. Now notice, they had been put in prison. Bible says they were put in the innermost part of the prison where it was dark and damp. And they had been beaten with many stripes, so their bodies aching and hurting them, and then their feet were fastened in stocks. And During the midnight hour, the darkest moment of the day, when everything is gloomy, they are in prison, remember, not for committing any crime. They are in prison for preaching the gospel. They are in prison for doing the work that God had sent them to do. And then the devil is trying to mess them up. But look at how they are handling the situation. Bible says, right there in that prison, they began to pray and sing praises. They weren't sorrowful. They prayed. You see, Bible says in everything, by prayer and supplication. Isn't that so? Imagine what would have happened if Paul and Silas had been talking to one another right there in that midnight hour, complaining about how God failed them. Maybe Paul turns to Silas, or Silas begins by turning to Paul and saying, well, Paul, but you said you met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said Jesus called you to be an apostle. Are you sure you really had him right? Apostles don't end up in prison. Apostles, they preach and God will call them, should defend them. And then Paul would have said to Silas, but, you know, I had him all right. But then you also, you had him. You had that he called you. That's why you followed me everywhere. Isn't that so? And then Silas says to Paul, well, it's only because you said you heard from Jesus. That's why I've been following you. But now I realize I've been following the wrong person. And then they would have been quarreling with one another in the prison. And they would have remained there. But both of them agreed. You see, when you live by the word, you always be in agreement. No self-opinion. There will be no disagreement because you are all agreeing based on what God says. Not based on your feelings, not based on your experiences. So both of them agreed to do what God says to do. Christians are to pray when they have trouble and to rejoice in the midst of the trouble. So they prayed and they sang praises. They began to rejoice in God while they are in the prison in the midnight hour, the darkest hour of the night. Their body is aching. Their experience there was not very pleasant. But they turned the prison into a place of praise. You can turn your situation into a place of praise for God. You make your trouble an altar from where you praise God. Isn't that wonderful? When you begin to do that, the devil will think twice before he brings another trouble your way. Because the devil will say, well, when I cause this one trouble, instead of him being sorrowful, he's going to praise God, and then God is going to show up and consume me. See, the devil fears God. He knows that God is a consuming fire. So when they did the right thing, look at verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Isn't that wonderful? Just because they did what Christians should do. Just because they lived by faith. They obeyed the word of God. God showed up. And God turned it around. In fact, if you read further down, you'll find out that God so much got glory from the experience of Paul and Silas, in that even the jailer, the person that put them in jail, was saved that night, together with all his house. Don't you realize the devil will think twice next time when he realizes that you handle your situation the correct way and God gets the glory and he gets the shame? So we should wake up as Christians and begin to do what God says to do. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. And please get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to say a few points and give you some scriptures so that you can go home and meditate. Now, again, as Christians, we are a people that know the joyful sound. And we ought to rejoice at all times and in every situation. Not based on how we see the situation or how we feel in the situation, but based on the word of God. We just act on the word of God. We live by faith, as Bible says. Now let's back up now to verse 11, Revelation chapter 12. And they, so the they there is talking about us, the brethren with Christ. So we overcame, please underline the word overcame, past tense. We overcame. Someone may say, but how could I have overcome the devil there in heaven when I wasn't even born yet? Well, you were in existence in the spirit. You were in existence in the spirit before you were conceived in your mother's womb. So in the spirit, you obtained the victory the same time that God asked Archangel Michael to war against the dragon and all his angels. You see, when God created the devil, he created him as an archangel that was beautiful. He was called Lucifer. But then when he decided to rebel against God and created, you know, rebellion in heaven, God cast him out of heaven and drove him out of the place. And Bible says his place is no longer found in heaven. But you, as a Christian, you are in heaven because God chose you from the foundation of the world. God knew you from the foundation of the world and chose you in Christ from the foundation of the world to be blameless. Bible teaches us that in Ephesians chapter 1 and also in Romans chapter 8. He predestined us because he had foreknowledge of us. So you already have the victory. Say to your neighbor, you already have the victory in the spirit through the blood of Jesus. Amen. So you didn't fight the battle. God fought it for you. Archangel Michael defeated the devil for you. And the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation of the world. Bible says, because Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. He just came to the earth to establish in the physical realm what was already done in the spirit. When Jesus came to the earth to shed his blood here, he was just coming to do it in the physical because it's already done in the spirit. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. And now you begin to understand that you already have it in the spirit. You already have the victory. In fact, before your trouble came, you already have the victory. And when you begin to see it that way, you are not going to doubt the victorious outcome that God has for you in every situation in life. If you know you already have the victory, then you are not struggling. You are not wondering, am I going to come out of this trouble? No, you are saying, praise God, I'm already out of it. I'm just waiting for the physical manifestation. It's done already. It's already done. So they overcame, past tense. So say to your neighbor, you already overcame the devil by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Alright. Alright, before we write the first sentence, turn with me quickly. Let's look at these two other scriptures so that when I begin to say what we need to say this morning, you be able to flow with us. Turn quickly to Leviticus chapter 17. See, we already overcame the devil by the blood of Jesus. The blood was shed from the foundation of the world in the spirit, and the victory was established then. Now we need the victory to be established in this physical realm where we are dwelling, and the key to doing so is what we are looking at this morning. What we already have in the spirit, we want it to manifest here on earth while we are here in this world. Verse 11, Leviticus chapter 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, please underline your Bible right there. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when we are talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a particular life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is the life of God the Father himself. Because every child receives the blood from the father, not from the mother. If any doctor will tell you, the baby in the womb doesn't get his blood from the mother. In fact, if the blood circulation of that baby in the womb crosses with that of the mother, there will be crisis. In fact, the mother can even end up dying. The blood of the child comes from the father. And so the blood of Jesus came from his father, not from Mary, the mother. That's why the blood of Jesus is perfect and sinless. If the blood had come from Mary, then it would have been defiled. Because Mary was shapen in iniquity, just like you and I. But God, the Father of Jesus, is perfect, sinless God. Therefore, the blood of Jesus is perfect and sinless. And it has the life of God in it. And that is why that blood can give us victory over the devil, the author of sin and death. All right. Now let's turn also to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to look at three of the verses there, but when you get home, please study the whole chapter. Verse 13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Drop down also to verse 22 and 23. "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you." Amen. Now notice, both in verse 13 and verse 23, Bible says God himself, when he sees the blood, God himself will pass over. You see, and that was just the blood of a lamb, which was a type of the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. Now God instituted that Passover thing on that night that was, you know, the night preceding the day that the children of Israel will be taken out of bondage in Egypt. God established it and told them that that should be the beginning of months for them so that they will remember how God delivered them. And God was going to do so by putting a covering over them because of the blood that they have placed upon the doorpost of their houses. God himself will cover them with his glory, so that as the destroyer went through the land to smite all the Egyptians, he will not be able to enter into any of the houses where the blood was applied. Now, imagine if the blood of a lamb brought so much covering over them, then how much more the perfect blood of Jesus now. Hebrews explains to us that the blood of Jesus is of better covenant blessings to us than the blood of bulls and goats and all those other animals. But the key here is that when the blood is applied, God himself will take charge over your life. When you apply the blood, God will take charge over your life here on earth, because already settled in heaven, you see. You have to apply it here on earth in the physical, so that you can enjoy what is already done for you in the Spirit. Now, please write this down. As we turn back to Revelation chapter 12. Again, verse 11, Revelation chapter 12 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." The day there again is us as Christians. The him there is the devil. And it means by which we as Christians overcame the devil is the blood of the Lamb, according to that verse of scripture. The word overcame, please write this down so that when you are studying your notes, you'll understand what God is saying very clearly. The word overcame there literally means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, and to get the victory. To subdue, to conquer, to prevail, and to get the victory. So when God said, "And they overcame him," God is saying, and we as Christians subdue the devil. We prevail against the devil. We gain the victory over the devil. Thank God for that. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We conquer the devil because of the blood of Jesus. We don't do it by any natural means. We do it by the very life of God, who is Spirit and who has created all things, because the life of God is in the blood. So we prevail against the devil through the blood of Jesus because of the life of God in it. Now write this down. The blood of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, has already overcome the devil in the Spirit. The blood of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, has already overcome the devil in the Spirit. Remember, we said a short while ago, Bible telling us that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, it was done already in the Spirit. And here in Revelation chapter 12 that we read, this passage also tells us the account of what happened in the realm of the Spirit in heaven before you and I were born. And how we already have the victory in verse 11 through the blood of Jesus in the realm of the Spirit. But then we need that victory in this physical realm while we are here in this world, because we are ambassadors living temporarily here on earth while we are away from home in heaven physically. But thank God we are never away spiritually from home. We are seated together with Christ all day long, 24 hours round the clock, because our spirit never sleeps. Our spirit never gets tired. We are always in heaven with Christ in the Spirit. But physically, we are here in this world, and the body is subject to all the weaknesses of the flesh because of the fallen state of man. But we must remember that as Christians, first and foremost, we are spiritual beings, and we live in heaven. And we already have the victory in the Spirit. We just need that victory to be translated into physical manifestation for us. And this is where faith comes in. Now, please write this down next. Now, what is already done in the Spirit needs to be made manifest in the physical for us as Christians. Because we are citizens of heaven. Which is the spiritual realm. living as ambassadors for Christ. Here on earth, I'm going to repeat the statement in a short while so you can get it clearly. If you miss out anything, don't worry, I'll say it again. Living as ambassadors for Christ here on earth, which is the physical realm. Now I go back and I say it again. Now, what is already done in the spirit needs to be made manifest in the physical for us as Christians, because we are citizens of heaven, which is the spiritual realm, living as ambassadors for Christ here on earth, which is the physical realm. And in front of that statement, please write these two scriptures. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, we've looked at that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of heaven. So what is in heaven, we must enjoy in the physical realm. That's what I'm trying to say in a short while, in a short sentence. We need to experience the victory which we already have. We are not trying to get the victory. We already have it in the spirit. But because we are living in a physical realm now, in this flesh, we need to enjoy what we have in the spirit while we are here on earth. And the way to do so is what we are looking at this morning. So, please write this statement then. The way to manifest the overcoming life that is in the blood of Jesus here on earth, as it is in heaven, is by sprinkling it with our lips. The way to manifest the overcoming life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ here on earth, as it is in heaven, because it's already settled in heaven. We just need to experience it here on earth in the physical. So the way to do so is by sprinkling it with our lips. Just as Aesop, you know that plant Aesop, we read that in Exodus a short while ago. Just as Aesop was used under the old covenant. And in front of that, please write this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 to 22. And let us quickly turn there. You see, once we understand that all we are doing as Christians, when we declare faith in the blood of Jesus, is that we are drawing into manifestation what is already settled in heaven, we will always be steps ahead of the devil. You know, the devil is a liar. The devil wants us to believe that, well, you are still struggling to have the victory. It's not there yet. You need to pray harder. You need to do so much more in order to get the victory. He's a deceiver. You have to know the truth, Bible says, so that the truth will make you free. You are not trying to get the victory. You already have it. You are just drawing from your account in heaven, in the spirit, to make it manifest in the physical. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you get it, you see. If you believe. See? You just need faith. It's all by faith. You have to know what the Word of God says and believe it. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, our helper. Hebrews chapter 9, 19 to 22. Let us read together. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of cows and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, it sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Hallelujah. Notice what the Bible says. Under the old covenant, Moses did. He took the blood, sprinkled everything, sprinkled the people, sprinkled the tabernacle, sprinkled everything with the blood, dipping hyssop in it, and saying, this is the blood of the testament. In other words, the blood of the covenant that God has enjoined unto you. In other words, the blood is the means by which God has established a covenant with his own people. The devil knows the power that is in the blood of Jesus. That's why when you begin to declare the blood of Jesus in faith, the devils, they tremble and they run. There is so much power because of the life of God and the covenant of promise that is in the blood. You have to understand it so that when you are declaring the blood, you should be doing so with joy, knowing that certainly you are drawing into manifestation what already belongs to you in the spirit realm. Thank God for that. Now, write this as we begin to close. This is the reason why Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 that we overcome by the word of our testimony. That's the way you sprinkle with your lips the blood. You begin to declare out of your mouth what the blood has done for you. You begin to declare, I have the victory through the blood of Jesus. I overcome the devil and all his evil works through the blood of Jesus. I overcome sickness through the blood of Jesus. I overcome poverty through the blood of Jesus. I overcome afflictions through the blood of Jesus. I overcome every trouble through the blood of Jesus. I overcome every plan of the devil against me through the blood of Jesus. And as you declare that, you know what? You are sprinkling that blood with your lips, just as Moses did with hyssop. And then God himself moves to cover you with his glory. And it defeats the devil for you. The battle is still the Lord's, not yours. But you have a part to play. Your part is simply to have faith. Now, back to that Exodus chapter 12. You don't need to turn there. I'm just trying to get you to see. God gave them instruction what to do that night. Isn't that so? God told them they had the responsibility to slaughter one lamb for a house and then dip that hyssop plant in that blood and mark the lintel of their houses. Now, if anyone refused to do that, what would have happened to that person? Even though they were Jews. Well, they would have died, perished. Didn't God plan to protect them? He planned, but they failed to do their own part. God would not come and mark the houses for them. They had to do that. But God, the moment they obey God and mark the houses with the blood, God will pass over the house and cover it. And the destroyer will not be able to get it. So it's the same thing today. We need to act in faith and God will do the rest. We need to declare faith in the blood out of our mouth. Instead of you worrying about the situation, you rise up and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You are not going to kill me before my time. And then God rises up for you to rebuke the devil for you and say, touch not my child. Take your hands off of his life in Jesus' name. The number of his days I will fulfill. Why? Because you did your own part. You drew from your account in heaven of what the blood has already done for you. So please write this down. Always remember that the blood of Jesus is a token of the covenant between God and you as a Christian. So the blood is a token or a sign of the covenant that God has for you as a Christian. In other words, because you are in Christ, you see, God established that covenant with you through the blood. Therefore, whenever you confess out of your mouth the blood in faith, God Himself, who is the covenant keeping God. Therefore, whenever you confess the blood of Jesus out of your mouth in faith, God Himself, who is the covenant keeping God, will establish for you the victory that is in the blood. God is the one that will do it, not any man. You simply do your part. You see, none of those Jews protected their homes because they put the blood there. God was the one that protected their homes on that night. So please write in front of that statement, Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 23, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We've already looked at all those scriptures. So you put the blood in place. God said it will pass over you whenever He sees the blood. So every time you declare faith in the blood, God arises for you. And you know when God arises, the enemy will be scattered. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So your part is to keep declaring the blood. So when trouble comes your way, instead of sitting down and feeling sorry for yourself, you take up the blood of Jesus in your mouth and begin to declare the blood. The blood. When sickness comes against you, you declare the blood. Because the blood is the means by which you have been redeemed. Turn with me as we close. We are going to declare faith in the blood in a short while. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. You see, the key for you is to know that you have been redeemed. As a Christian, you have been redeemed through the blood. The price that God paid to set you free from bondage to sin, which Adam put all of us in, was the blood that was shed. The blood. God knew that Adam would sin before He created Adam. That was why He took His son from the foundation of the world before Adam was made and slew him. God shed the blood before sin came. That's why you already have the victory. Even before trouble comes your way, you already have the victory. And you have to understand these things. But the victory is in the spirit. But you need it in the physical. So you need faith. You do your part and act upon the word of God. God says you overcome by the blood, which is what God did. He shed the blood. You didn't do so. But then you have to testify. You have to use your mouth to declare what the blood has done, just as they use hyssop to sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost of their homes. You do your part, God will do the rest. Colossians chapter 1, thank God that the blood redeemed us. To be redeemed means a price was paid to get you to be free from bondage. That is why you have a legal right to declare victory through the blood. Say to your neighbor, you have a legal right to declare victory through the blood. You don't beg for it. It is your right. And you do it boldly. In Jesus' name. Let me give you an illustration. You know, when you go to work, and then at the end of the month, they give you your wages. Will your boss say, well, here's your wages. I'm just doing you a favor. Hey, I beg your pardon? Doing me a favor? No, that's my right. I earned it. I worked for it. I worked for the past 30 days. I toiled and I have the right to receive these wages. It is mine. Or are you going to go to the office of the boss and begin to beg him, please? It's the end of the month, please. Can you just let me have something? No, you're walking with boldness. And say, where's my wages? Give it to me. It's my right. So it is your right to have victory through the blood of Jesus. Don't beg for it. Be bold. Go to the throne of grace with boldness. And face the devil with boldness. I say, devil, I already have the victory over you. You are a liar. Victory is mine in Jesus' name. And right now, I overcome you by the blood of Jesus. And immediately, the devil will get up and run in terror. Because he knows what's happening next. When you declare the blood, God will show up. The glory of God will roll him to that situation. And God is a consuming fire. Before God gets there, the devil would have run away. Because he knows he will be consumed if he stays. You need to declare faith in the blood. Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Let us read together from verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Please underline in verse 14 there, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. Through his blood. And verse 12 says, God himself, you see, has given us the right to be qualified as a people that partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that wonderful? You already have it. There's an inheritance laid out for you. You are not begging for it. It is yours. But you need to declare the blood that brought you the redemption in order to possess the benefits of the redemption. That's the key. The blood purchased your redemption. And to lay hold upon the benefits of those redemption, you have to declare out of your mouth the blood. Let's rise to our feet today. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. We praise God for the blood. Lift your hands and begin to thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that redeemed you. Thank God for the blood that redeemed me. Oh, I am the redeemed of the Lord, I say so. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me from sickness and disease. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me from the hands of the devil and all his demons. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The blood of Jesus has given me victory over the devil. I have the victory every day forever through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood. You may want to open your Bible to Psalm 107 verse 2 while we are just declaring the blood. You see, Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We just read that we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that so? We read that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 a short while ago. And then Psalm 107 verse 2 tells us the redeemed ought to say so. You can't keep quiet. You have to keep saying what the blood has done for you. Wake up every morning and say, praise God, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me from the hand of the enemy, the devil. Therefore, today, devil, I want you to know that you are a failure in all areas of my life. Devil, I want you to know that today is a day of victory for me over you and all your evil works, because I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. You see, you have to say these things out of your mouth in faith. Don't keep quiet when trouble comes your way. Don't keep quiet when the devil is trying to mess you up. You rise up and say, praise God, I've been redeemed from the hand of the devil by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, devil, I want you to know that no weapon weapon formed against me shall prosper. In Jesus' name, I overcome you and all your evil plans right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you begin to praise God and thank Him. And watch what God will do. God is the covenant keeping God. The blood is the token of covenant. When He sees the blood, it will pass over you. It will fight for you. It will defeat all the enemy for you. It will give you victory over every situation contrary to His will for your life. God never promised that you won't have trouble, but He promised to deliver you out of all of them. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So when trouble comes your way, don't be surprised. Don't even think that you have trouble because you have sinned. It has nothing to do with that. It just has everything to do with the devil that is against you, is your adversary. Bible says we have an adversary called the devil. Whether you do right or wrong, the devil will show up in your life. He will show up every day to try to mess you up in all areas of life. But you have to declare the blood as the redeemed of the Lord and receive in the physical what already belongs to you in the spirit. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, now obey God and begin to say so. You know the troubles you are going through right now. Just begin to say, praise God. I've been redeemed from this trouble by the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Devil, you are a liar. You are not going to cause me trouble in this area successfully. All your plans come to nothing. The blood of Jesus is against you. I have victory through the blood of Jesus. Just keep declaring faith in the blood. You see, the Holy Spirit in you will give you that boldness and rise up on the inside of you as you begin to declare the blood in faith. And it will do the rest. It will do the rest. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. But you have to do your part. You have to apply the blood like the children of Israel had the responsibility to mark the doorpost of their houses with the blood. And then God would pass over and cover them. God will take care of those troubles for you. And you just wake up every day, declare the blood. And when things are against you in life, declare the blood. You may not understand why. You don't even need to worry. Don't sit down, try to figure out, why am I going through all this? Why? The answer is simple. We have an adversary called the devil. The problem is not with flesh and blood. No. It is the devil using the people to be against you. It is the devil using the circumstances to be against you. It is the devil trying to cause you trouble at work. It is the devil trying to cause you trouble at home. It is the devil trying to cause you trouble at church. It is the devil trying to cause you trouble everywhere you go. So instead of sitting down feeling sorry, declare the blood. Declare the blood. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Declare the blood. Declare the blood. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We raise up the blood of Jesus. We lift up the blood of Jesus as a weapon of our warfare in this place this morning. We declare faith in the blood. Devil, we want you to know that we know who we are. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and therefore we overcome you by the blood of Jesus Christ right now, and by the word of our testimony. We have the victory in the spirit, and we declare faith here on earth to make it manifest for us. Everyone in this place, every family represented here, we declare victory by the blood of Jesus. Satan, all your plans against everyone under the sound of my voice comes to nothing in the name of Jesus. We destroy your plans, your strongholds, by the blood of Jesus. We overcome all your evil intentions against the people of God by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory. Victory in this church. Victory for every saint of God everywhere. Victory, victory, victory for the people of God. For we are the redeemed of the Lord, we say so. Victory spiritually, victory emotionally, victory physically, victory financially, victory on our jobs, in our businesses, in our homes, in our careers, in our endeavors in life. Victory when we go out, victory when we come in, victory when we lie down, victory when we rise up from sleep, victory by the blood of Jesus, victory over sickness, victory over disease, victory over poverty, victory over every kind of affliction by the blood of Jesus, victory over every oppression of the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Victory, 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 victory by the blood in the name of Jesus. For we are the redeemed of the Lord, we say so. We've been redeemed by the blood. We've been redeemed by the blood. We've been redeemed by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lamb of God. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands to God and begin to thank him. That God fulfills his own side of the covenant. You have done your own part. God will never fail to keep his own part of the agreement. He's the covenant keeping God. Begin to thank him for victory in all those areas of your need this morning. Begin to thank God for the victory. The same God that shed the blood for you. The same God that shed the blood of his son for you from the foundation of the world. And then sent his son to this world to shed his blood on the earth. So that there may be a witness here on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's what the Bible teaches us. That there are three that bear witness here on earth, just as three bear witness in heaven. And here on earth, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is part of the witness. The blood of Jesus. And the Spirit of God here on earth. And the Word of God. They bear witness. So we testify with our mouth what the blood of Jesus has done. And our witness settles it here on earth as it is in heaven. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Pakrodo seminehita. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for the blood. 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 Victory, victory, victory. Every one of us in this church and in the body of Christ, in all areas of life, victory, victory, victory. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. For we all overcome the devil and all his evil wiles by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Just keep thanking the Lord. We are going to pass the elements of communion around. Just keep thanking the Lord. Just keep thanking him. Just keep thanking him for your victory through the blood. You are not the one trying to get it for yourself. God has given it to you. And he will ensure that you have it here on earth as it is in heaven. As you release your faith. You see, faith is in the heart and in the mouth. Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10. The word is nigh thee in thine heart and in thy mouth. That's why the redeemed of the Lord have to say so. They know already in their heart that they are redeemed, but that's not enough. Don't keep quiet. Don't say, well, I already know I have the victory. Well, speak it out. Because what you know in the heart, you have to say out of your mouth before it becomes a righteous kind of faith. We know the blood has redeemed us. We know we've been saved by the blood of Jesus. But we have to declare out of our mouth that the blood has redeemed us. And then heaven hears us. And hell also hears us. God hears us and backs us up in heaven. The devil hears us here on earth and trembles. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. There is victory in the blood. The blood that redeemed us. The blood that gave us the legal right to be free from all the enemy's plans. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the blood. And dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Lord's Supper table this morning. We thank you that your blessings are upon the bread and upon the wine. You said as often as we do it, we should do it in remembrance of you. We remember you as the one that brought us redemption. For we have the redemption through your blood. And we thank you that as we eat of your body that was broken, ours will be made whole. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you that as we drink of your blood that was poured out for us, the life of the Father, that overcoming life that you brought for us. For you said the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you that as we drink of your blood this morning, represented by the cup, that overcoming life flows over every one of us, saturating all aspects of our lives anew today and giving us victory over the devil and all his evil works. We bless you that you are the high priest of our profession and you are watching over us as your flock. Day and night, your eyes are upon us to do us good, to fulfill your promises as we believe them and act upon them in faith. Faithful are you who has promised, as it is written, who also will do it. Thank you that today is a day of victory for us, just as every day is a day of victory for us in you until you come back. Help us daily to live by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So keep thanking the Lord and let's just take the bread in our hands and also the cup.